Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We're happy you're with us here. It's the 14th day of January. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas, actually in here with us this morning in studio. Nice to have Sue along. And actually a fairly slow day in terms of weather and all that compared to what we have had, even though we were talking about some of the mess that's still out there on a few of the side streets. Boy, once again, Carl, I drove to Jeff City yesterday for the inauguration, the swearing-in, the receptions.
54?
Clean as a whistle. Huh. I mean, everywhere between here and down there was clean last week when we went down for the first day of the legislative session. They already had all that cleaned out. Even the streets in Jeff City were largely clean, even though the sidewalks were not necessarily. So, what are you pointing at, Carl?
I'm pointing at Kim's camera, which... suddenly
oh, it's blurry.
Out of focus.
It always does that, and I don't know why.
It's either focusing on you or it's focusing on Sue.
I did that on purpose. They're forced to look at you and me, Carl, instead of her.
No, so.
That's
don't.
Not a problem.
That's the worst idea ever.
No. It's all good. Anyway, I'm happy to have the opportunity to go down there. Thanks to Ryan Recker for filling in yesterday, and We had an opportunity to go into the reception with David Wassinger, the now lieutenant governor, and of course watch Mike Kehoe be sworn in and the attorney general and everyone else who got sworn in yesterday. So congratulations to all of them. Kim described that earlier as like the Super Bowl, but it was like the playoffs.
That was like your Orange Bowl.
And the Super Bowl, the college championship, is coming up Monday.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C. I'm planning to be there at the inauguration. I'll be calling in live to the show, probably do some live cut-ins on the Annie Fry show in the afternoon when we're not carrying Fox coverage, because they all, of course, have special coverage of the swearing-in in D.C. We'll be there on the Capitol grounds and hopefully at one of the balls that evening. I'm hoping to get to attend one of those. So I will be in D.C. Amid all of the security concerns and everything else. I mean, I was saying this earlier, it's a wide-ranging list. It's really pretty amazing when it gets right down to it, because the Capitol Police have put out a long list of things that are not supposed to be on Capitol grounds. And some of them you're going to be really surprised about, like body armor. Do not come to Capitol Hill with any body armor on.
Well, you
don't want that.
You were planning to go dressed as a knight, right? So
yes.
You're going to have to change your plans up.
Do you think the horns and the buffalo hat, does that count?
Well, I know you wanted to bring that, but I think you should just leave it at home.
Actually, I don't specifically see any restriction on the kind of hat that you wear. That's interesting.
So,
you're not
bring the horns.
Not supposed to bring explosives.
Shoot.
You're not supposed to bring firearms, knives. They don't want you to bring any knives. Of course, you can't bring any guns. You know that because it's D.C. They got a whole list of things. You're not allowed to bring a stroller. So if you've decided you're going to take your child to the inauguration, I know it's going to be cold Monday, you are not allowed to bring a stroller. You're not allowed to bring an umbrella.
Is the stroller, are they worried they'll hide things in it? Or is it more because the crowd size is supposed to be so big?
I don't know. So if you are, you can't bring a motorized mobility device. I assume that doesn't include wheelchairs because the Americans with Disabilities Act would trump that. But you can't bring a recreational motorized mobility device. I don't even know what that would be.
Recreational?
Yeah. Well, who has a recreational motorized mobility device?
I don't know,
what is that?
Those scooters. Those scooters that are motorized, or the thing that people, the kids stand on them,
oh,
and you can go around in
yeah,
circles. My niece has
maybe
one.
That's it. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Whatever that's called.
You can't bring a range finder.
Did you just say a unicycle?
Yeah, that's what they
No, I'm talking, it doesn't have anything you hold. You stand on it and you can spin around.
Yeah, unicycle.
No, it's definitely.
It's got one wheel.
No. It has two or three.
I guess.
The Segways?
No, maybe that's it.
I guess in learning their lesson from the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, they have banned range finders. You're not allowed to bring a range finder to the inauguration on Monday. This is from straight from the Capitol Police. This is the Capitol Police list of things that are not allowed at the inauguration. I'm not making any of this up.
I just don't think it's fair to ask people to leave their explosives at home.
Well, I know. Ammunition, you can't bring ammo. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
What about your personality,
How can we have
Mark?
Another insurrection?
Your personality is
explosive. I know.
But I'm explosive. Nice one, Carl.
But I'm glad I read this. Since I'm going to be there, I'll know to leave all that stuff at home.
You should have said leave the guns at home. Already, these are registered guns right here. Every guy has to say that. Oh, thank you.
You get that.
All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Imagine what we could do in those years if they will rally behind me and teach the children and protect them about the social media.
Yeah, Melania is going to continue her Be Best program that she started as First Lady last time. And she said they're going to have a faster start this time because the previously, the administration made the transition very hard on them. Now they know what they're going into ahead of time.
Should we expect workplace raids?
Yes. I wouldn't call it raid. They're based on investigation.
Yeah, thank you. We're just investigating workplaces that might employ and harbor criminal illegal aliens. What's the big deal?
Well, one, I'm petty Irishman. I do find it funny that they all called him Hitler and a fascist and a racist 6 weeks ago, and now they want to hang out at Mar-a-Lago.
That's true. Sean Spicer there, that's pretty funny. He was Hitler 6 weeks ago, and now they can't wait to fly down and meet him at Mar-a-Lago.
Mike Kehoe put 6 executive orders into effect immediately. These become state law now, and they do things like bolstering training and funding for local law enforcement.
Yeah, and none of that is a bad thing. I mean, I think a lot of it was probably for show, but we'll see what happens. You know, we talked to John Lamping about this earlier on the show. You can hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app. You can go to the podcast, obviously. That was at about 6:37 this morning. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I mean, those things sound good. The real question is, if they were that necessary, why didn't Mike Parson do them if they were that easy to sign executive order? But there are some good things in here because he's going to train select officers to assist federal efforts to find unauthorized immigrants, also known as illegal aliens. I don't know if that's just the way they chose to say it on First Alert 4, or if that's the way the governor's office called them, unauthorized immigrants. They're illegal aliens, and they will help collect immigration data on those charged with crimes, maybe to make them easier to find. These are all positive steps in the right direction. Let's hope they continue down that path. How about that? All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Gary Hollis. Now, I'm sure he's got some ideas on this because he's with Americans for Prosperity, and they're supporting the Trump tax cuts, and they're also trying to get Missouri to no longer have an income tax. We're going to talk to him about that right after the break. Stay tuned. I'm brokenhearted every time I have to pay my state income tax, which, of course, is bi-weekly, I guess you'd say, whenever the paycheck comes in. Wouldn't it be nice to be done with that, to have that money in your own pocket, decide how you're going to spend it, what you're going to buy? You'd probably be supporting that instead with a sales tax of some sort. They do it in other states, and they have tremendous success with it. Mike Kehoe told me he's in favor of that idea. The question is, how do we get there? Gary Hollis with us this morning, Missouri State Director for Americans for Prosperity. Gary, welcome in.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I had the governor, then he was governor-elect, on my show last week, and I asked him that question. He said he supports getting rid of the state's income tax. That's going to be a little bit of an effort, and it's not going to happen the first year, right?
Absolutely. We are really excited about the work that's being done by the legislature. I'm here in Jefferson City and attended Governor Kehoe's inauguration yesterday, and you can just tell by the mood that the legislators are excited to get to work. And we're really excited about a bill filed by Bishop Davidson in the House and also several conservative senators on the Senate side that is going to gradually phase out income taxes in the state of Missouri if passed, and it's going to be Americans for Prosperity's number one priority as far as state legislation this year. And so we very enthusiastically endorse that bill and are excited to get to work on it.
Yeah, you know, I think as I looked down the list of pre-filed bills, Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman was one of the ones who introduced that legislation. But I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it would phase it out in about a year. I mean, that you'd have to pass some serious legislation to replace part of that income, correct? I mean, and that, what is that in Florida and other places? Is that just higher sales tax?
Well, not necessarily. When you look at the 9 states who have gotten rid of their income tax, 7 of those 9 states actually have a lower sales tax than the state of Missouri.
Wow.
So not only do they not have income tax, but most of them have lower sales tax. And one of the states that has a higher sales tax but no income tax is Washington State, which, of course, is a far-left, heavy-spending state. And I'm confident that the legislators in Missouri are able to balance the budget here in the state better than Washington can.
So if you're not making it up with the sales tax, which I support ending the income tax, but how would you then make that up in the budget?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think you look for places that you can responsibly cut. We applaud the efforts of Representative Ben Baker to establish a Department of Government Efficiency here in Missouri, similar to what Vivek and Elon are doing on a national level. But also the idea is that this is going to come with economic growth. We're going to be able to attract businesses and people to Missouri. I read in the Missouri Independent the other day that 39 states are growing at a faster rate than Missouri. And
yes,
the idea is that you bring more people in, you grow your tax base, and that's how you're able to make up the difference.
Well, maybe they'll come from California, some of these other crazy places with their taxation that never stops. You know, we're talking to Gary Hollis. Of course, he's with Americans for Prosperity, Missouri State Director. I was a endorser of Bill Eigel running for governor over Mike Kehoe, and one reason was he supports elimination of the personal property tax as well. And I'm thinking to myself, are they going to be able to accomplish both of those things? That's a pretty lofty goal.
It is, and I can tell you, we do hear from voters all around the state. I think personal property tax is probably one of the most unpopular taxes in the state of Missouri. And I believe 25 states in the country do not have it. And I do think that, I don't know if they're going to be able to go from what we currently have to 0% overnight. I would love to see it. But there are some common sense ideas that we would love to see. Many states have what's called a de minimis exemption, which is basically a standard deduction for your property tax. So you could at the very least deduct your family vehicle. So families that are already hurting in this economy aren't paying personal property tax to the government every year. There also should be some sort of a date in which that expires. At some point, you should be able to own something in the state of Missouri. So,
yeah.
But I'm confident that we're headed in the right direction. I think it's all connected. Having a government that's willing to cut taxes, I think that Governor Kehoe is committed to that. He talked about it in his inaugural address yesterday, and I believe that the legislature is committed to that as well. So we hope that there's several different taxes that get cut. This is the most viable bill that we've seen as far as the income tax, and so that's why we're supporting it. But we definitely welcome reforms to personal property tax as well.
Because what have we learned? It's not a revenue problem. It's a spending problem, right?
That is most often the case.
In every bureaucracy everywhere, that is always the case in my opinion. Gary Hollis, thank you. I'd direct people to your website, correct? Americans for Prosperity?
Yes, our website. If you want to go and email your legislator about getting rid of the state income tax, we set up a page where it only takes 1 minute to contact them. It's not going to pass unless they hear from you. If you go to afpmo.com, it will take them directly to a page where they can contact their elected officials and let them know to reduce the taxes on their family. So,
excellent.
I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Gary, thank you. Look forward to meeting you sometime. Gary Hollis there with Americans for Prosperity in the state of Missouri. He's got an uphill fight here, but I'm rooting for him. Let me tell you, this is what we need to do. And it never, ever, ever gets old. Now, coming up, we're going to talk to Chad Pergram, but I want to leave you with this thought. Chad's covering the confirmation delays up on Capitol Hill. But always remember.
That's the current spending.
Stop spending. That's what we want.
The Secretary of Defense. Many of my distinguished colleagues have served in a significant tenure on this committee. And our meetings are
so you're listening to the hearing underway right now for Pete Hegseth for his confirmation hearing. That's Roger Wicker, Republican, speaking there. Introducing a question, and the question is, how quickly are these going to go? Are they going to be held up at all? Lucky enough to get a few minutes with Chad Pergram here up on Capitol Hill for Fox News. And Chad, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I know you're keeping an ear on that as well. What are you expecting today out of this hearing?
Well, I think this is going to be a pretty tough hearing for Pete Hegseth. The Democrats are not impressed with him. Jack Reed, the top Democrat on the Armed Services Committee, Democrat from Rhode Island, Navy man, says that he thinks that he has more questions than answers after he met with him, says he has serious questions about his qualifications. Richard Blumenthal, the Democratic senator from Connecticut, also a member of the committee, indicated, he said, you know, put aside the questions and the allegations of the alcohol abuse and sexual misconduct. He said, this guy just isn't qualified. It's going to be very tough to get this nominee through. This is going to be probably a humdinger of a hearing. There's going to be a lot of stuff, some stuff that comes out maybe that we haven't heard before, some very tough questions about his conduct in the past. And then confirming this, you know, I would look to see how someone like Joni Ernst, the Republican senator from Iowa, you know, votes on him. You know, she had kind of done a two-step, raising some questions about the, you know, sexual misconduct, somebody who's talked about sexual misconduct in the armed services, and then, you know, went back and had a second meeting with him and kind of put out some fires, kind of implying that she wasn't too hep to Pete Hegseth. This is going to be a tough one. And, you know, they have 53 votes. They will eventually here in the Senate. They're down two right now. That'll be fully stocked here soon. But they can only lose a couple of votes. And, you know, it might be a situation where maybe Vice President Vance, that happens next week, might be forced to break a tie on that. But I tell you, they're really starting off on a on the wrong foot overall with some of these confirmations, because they were going to have two other hearings today. Doug Burgum had been nominated to be Interior Secretary. That hearing was postponed until Thursday. And Doug Collins, who was the nominee to be Secretary of Veterans Affairs, former congressman from Georgia, that's pretty much a layup. A lot of people tended to like him, thought he was very qualified for that position. There's some serious paperwork delays. And we don't know when his hearing will be. And so, you know, it's been customary in the past few cycles when a new president takes office on Inauguration Day for the Senate to confirm one or two nominees. That certainly happened with President Biden. It happened with former President Trump in 2017, just hours after the inauguration. And because they're kind of running behind now, it makes you wonder if they're going to be able to do that. The one I think they might be able to confirm rather quickly is one of their own, Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida. He's up for Secretary of State, and his hearing is tomorrow.
Wow.
How long would these confirmation hearings typically last, you know, in comparison to how long, say, Pete Hegseth's could last?
Yeah, well, some of them, again, it just depends how controversial somebody is. You know, Doug Collins, that was probably going to be in and out in a few hours. You know, he was a known quantity. Same thing with Marco Rubio, maybe a little more, you know, of a lengthy hearing simply because the position Secretary of State, and they might talk about Latin America or Venezuela and a lot of other subjects there. But he is known, you know, so that's going to be a shorter hearing. If you take, once they get past the opening statements and the opening presentations here with the Hegseth hearing, each senator, there are 27 members of the Armed Services Committee, and they are each afforded seven-minute question periods. Well, that's 3 hours and 9 minutes right there, you know, and timing on Capitol Hill is not exactly Swiss. So this is going to be a lengthy hearing that probably goes all day long.
Do you have a feeling? I believe I might have heard it on Kilmeade yesterday. I may be mistaken on the source that there was a story that Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate now, had been stressing to his members that they needed to try to slow this down, these confirmations down, like drag their feet a little bit. Is there any indication of that?
Well, yes. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Chuck Schumer has said, and you always hear this from the minority party, especially when the president is from the other party, we need to take our time. We need to do due diligence. They were, in fact, waiting for paperwork for Doug Burgum, which could somewhat be blamed a little bit on the Democrats simply because they said, wait a minute, we're not ready to do this because we don't have the paperwork. And they went ahead and scheduled the hearing. The Republicans did, much to the chagrin of Martin Heinrich, the Democratic senator from New Mexico, who's the ranking Democrat on that panel, said, wait a minute, we've never done this unless we had the paperwork.
Right.
And so, you know, the Office of Government Ethics did not have the paperwork ready, so they're going to try Burgum again on Thursday. I'm not so sure that you could say that was a delay by the Democrats, but certainly some of the others. But that's typical, because they say we want to kind of drag this out a little bit. We want to vet these people. There are Democrats who will vote for Republican nominees on this. Dick Durbin, the Democratic whip, he said just yesterday that he would vote for Marco Rubio. Hegseth, okay, maybe that's more of a problem. You know, somebody like Kristi Noem to be Homeland Security Secretary, her hearings tomorrow, yeah, there'll probably be a couple of people vote for her. You know, somebody like RFK Jr., that could be a mixed bag, frankly, and we don't know that he would have the vote. So, you know, every nominee you have to look at through an individual prism.
You mentioned Hegseth's history with drinking, some of these allegations we've heard about. Is there anything that's off limits, or how personal could these confirmation hearings get?
Oh, there's nothing that's off limits. I mean, you know, I've been around these things. I mean, we saw what happened with Brett Kavanaugh to be on the Supreme Court. I wasn't here in Washington yet, but, you know, everybody saw the Clarence Thomas hearings back in 1991. You know, where they were talking about porn stars and all sorts of things. I mean, yeah, you know, if there's anything bad, it's going to come out in a hearing.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, that is the truth. You know, do you know when the IRS hearing is scheduled, Chad? I know that's a tough question.
I have not heard that one scheduled at all. Yeah, I've not
heard
that one scheduled at all.
Because that's going to be former Congressman Billy Long from here in Missouri, and that one should be must-watch TV.
And that's going to be a controversial one. In fact, I was just talking to a source who works on tax policy yesterday. And again, while he was a known quantity, some people have questions about, you know, whether or not he's qualified to do this. You know, that was not exactly his bag when he was here on Capitol Hill. And I think there'll be some questions when his confirmation hearing comes up. But again, you know, that's not a cabinet level position.
Yes.
We might be, you know, a couple months down the road before they get to that, because they got to deal with the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State. You know, these are the, you know, bigger potatoes right now.
Well, it's a good point. I know you got a lot to cover up there. We appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Chad Pergram there live on Capitol Hill, listening in on the Pete Hegseth confirmation. There's a Democrat named Jack Reed questioning him right now. What's that say? Democrat Rhode Island? Is that an RI?
Congressman Mike Walker.
Yeah, let's listen for just a second here and see what he asks.
I want to begin by saying that I respect and appreciate your military service in the Army National Guard. I know from experience that there is no greater privilege than to lead American soldiers, and I thank you for answering the call. You have been nominated to be the Secretary of Defense. The Secretary is responsible for leading a department of 3.5 million service members and civilians, an annual budget of nearly $900 billion, and hundreds of thousands of aircraft, ships, submarines, combat vehicles, satellites, and the nuclear arsenal. The Secretary also plays a powerful role with our allies, partners, and adversaries abroad. And as we speak, China is seeking to undermine our interests, intimidate our friends, and challenge our standing in the world. Russia's campaign against Ukraine.
Yeah, you kind of see where he's going. Europe, he was questioning whether or not Hegseth has the credibility to handle that job. My response might be, do you think Lloyd Austin had that credibility? Maybe because he was a general, but what about character-wise? Did he just go AWOL for 2 weeks and not bother to tell anybody he was incapacitated because of cancer surgery? I mean, come on.
You think Hegseth being a personality on Fox is working against him?
Oh,
because
I'm sure
you've
they
heard
hate
that
him.
So often. Because, yeah, he didn't have as high of a rank maybe as Lloyd Austin, but he still served in the military. He still has that experience. So to your point, I think a lot of people, I mean, look at Donald Trump. I mean, he is a very successful businessman before he ever ran for president, but he didn't have the political background. So one could have argued, well, he's not qualified to run the country because he doesn't know the ins and outs of politics and all of these things. Well, you don't necessarily have to have all of that experience in order to be effective as a leader.
I agree. And I think that'll be part of the vetting process here. He did have 50 or 100, maybe it's more than that, hundreds of former military leaders who came out and signed a letter in support of him, including a lot of like special operators and people like that. So,
well, and his mom came out and was kind of talking about how he's a changed man, you know, that there were some challenges back then and that he's grown up and matured and that she feels as though he would do well in this position.
He'll definitely be a disruptor, which I think they need that. Certainly at the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, should I go on? For sure. All right. We're going to be back here in just a minute.
Say, find it a little bit rich that Democrats are now complaining about the FBI. But I have to say, don't worry, Democrats. In only a couple short weeks, we're going to confirm Kash Patel to be the next director of the FBI. We're going to get the politics completely out of it, and we can have confidence in our law enforcement once again. But today, Pete Hegseth, I think, is going to do very well. Across the street right now, we have dozens of veterans and Gold Star family members and other supporters of Pete's who've been out there since 4 a.m. ready to support him. And when people see Pete Hegseth address this committee and talk about his knowledge of what we have to do to return that warrior spirit back to the Department of Defense, get away from the wokeism and the unpreparedness, Pete Hegseth is really going to impress people today.
Yep, Jason Miller there, speaking last night to CNN, and I'd like to play you a portion of Pete Hegseth's testimony. The problem is, this is the point in the hearing where the either senator, the Democrat, or the Republican get to basically rant for 5 minutes in the form of a question without actually asking any questions, and they don't let the nominee just has to sit there and listen to
it. Budget. Finally, while I appreciate our meeting last week, it is unacceptable that you did not meet with any other Democratic members of this committee before this hearing.
You're the chairman.
As has been our bipartisan tradition. During my time in the Senate, I have voted
all
for
right,
and
so
worked closely
enough
with
of that.
Secretary.
Can you take notes while he's listening so we can comment on all 100 things he said in the 5-minute rant?
Yeah.
Point number 75 that you made, sir.
That's Jack Reed, who's just going sideways on this. If this is the best they've got, I don't think this gets to Kavanaugh-level allegations. I mean, as bad as that was, but I think Hegseth will do fine. If he actually gets to say a few words here, we'll cut back in live, Carl, so keep an eye on it, and we'll get back to that. I want to get back to the Jack Smith story for just a minute. For those of you who've been listening in this morning, I did talk about it earlier, but this Judge Eileen Cannon agreed to release the new indictment, the latest indictment from Jack Smith, even though it's all been dismissed. How in anybody's view is that fair? I don't get it. So we talked earlier, Kim, that the old saying is a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. And that's because they can go into an environment where there is no defense attorney, nobody to refute the claims. They can make their allegations. They can make the defendant seem as guilty as possible. And there's no evidence to the contrary presented to the jury. And therefore, they vote to indict somebody. And then you walk out and claim he's indicted. But in reality, they haven't heard the other side of the story. So in this particular case, they released Jack Smith's long-winded indictment here. It's 175 pages. I printed out portions of it this morning. And it really, folks, it's unbelievable how arrogant this guy is.
he lies on several different points here, but claims that he's confident that if he got to take this to court, he could win. Well, do you know any confident prosecutor, competent, who wouldn't believe if they decided to take a case to trial that they could win it?
No, of course they would feel confident.
Of course they would. So he states that in his opening letter, which I've got a copy of here, which has now been released to the media. They're all making hay out of it this morning. This is just an example of the sort of built-in negative attitude of Jack Smith here. One of his points is Mr. Trump's supporters attack the United States Capitol. His efforts to remain in power converged and culminated on January 6th. And he refers to the crowd as angry. He also told the angry crowd, if you don't fight like hell, we're not going to have a country anymore. Not once in here do I see him mention peacefully and patriotically march down to the Capitol and let your voices be heard. Your voices. Jack Smith's biggest problem, because he's a jackwagon, is that he wasn't there that day. I was there that day. I listened to his speech. He did not condone violence. He did not encourage violence. Even though they hammered him to come out and say something, when he did, he said, I didn't tell you to do this. You need to get the hell out of the Capitol. This is dirty politics at its best. It's a smear. It's the Democrats' last attempt to smear Donald Trump. And, of course, they'll be able to come out and refute all these point by point now. But why did it have to be released? If it was never going to go to trial, why did they do this? They did it for one reason, the same lawfare reason that they went down all of these avenues to begin with, and that's to try to damage Donald Trump's ability to go in and get anything done in Washington, D.C. It is a third world atmosphere that Joe Biden has brought to this country. That this could go on is something that happens in third world countries, not America. And now it seems commonplace. Why even petition to have this replaced or released, I should say? Right? It's not unlike the Matt Gaetz situation, honestly. Regardless of what you think of Matt Gaetz, the Congressional Committee, the Ethics Committee looking into him, had no power over him if he's not a sitting congressman. No power at all. Mm-hmm. So releasing that is nothing more than an attempt to smear his integrity and his reputation.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Because there's no, it's never going to go to court. There were never any charges in this case. It's just part of the game in Washington, D.C.
It's Jack Smith's pride. It's him licking his wounds right now.
And that's what they're going to try to do to Pete Hegseth today at this confirmation hearing. You can bet on that. That's what's coming. Stay tuned for that. I'm sure Brian Kilmeade will have the latest on it throughout the morning. Annie and Mark will cover it this afternoon. And, of course, we will follow up with our thoughts on it tomorrow morning, starting at 5 a.m. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you back here Wednesday at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.